Good morning, Grace Point.
Happy Mother's Day to mothers out there. And this morning we are celebrating, today we celebrate mothers all around the world. And what a special day it is. So this morning I've asked Debbie to join us and share something that the Lord has laid on her heart to encourage mothers and to encourage all of us as the body of Christ. Before Debbie shares, I found a really funny article that reminded me of my mother. And I'm sure many of you will be able to relate to it as well. So I'm just going to read that now quickly. What my mother taught me about religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, "You better pray, the stain will come out of the carpet." My mother taught me about logic. From her decisive words, "Because I said so, that's why." My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep laughing, and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there till all that spinach is finished. My mother taught me about weather. It looks as if a tornado has swept through your room. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out too. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world. Who don't have a wonderful mom like you do? Thank you, Mom. And now we're going to show a short video, and then Debbie will share with us what the Lord has laid on her heart. Thank you.
Good morning again. Motherhood looks different for everyone. Different seasons, different roles. Difficult seasons, difficult roles. Less challenging seasons and less challenging roles. Let me start at the beginning of motherhood for me. Ethel and I tried to fall pregnant for many years, and this was a painful and difficult season for the both of us. Then the Lord blessed us with two children from adoption. And with Christy, we were literally thrust into parenthood overnight. In the busyness, though, of trying to be the perfect wife and mother, of trying to prove that I had this motherhood thing under control, I began to neglect my personal walk with the Lord. I was so consumed with the gift of the child that I neglected the giver of the child, the giver of that life itself. I was looking for something, yearning for something in my relationship with my children. And no matter how hard I tried, that sense of complete and utter fulfillment that the book spoke about was always just beyond my reach. I didn't understand it until one morning it dawned on me. Motherhood is supposed to be completely selfless. My children were not there to meet my needs, but I was there to meet their needs. This brings me to my first point. God is enough. He is sufficient to meet all of my needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." That means physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. God was there to meet my needs, and yet I had walked away from him. And it was only after I rekindled my relationship with the Lord that I found that true fulfillment. And only once I found everything I needed in my relationship with God, did I stop looking for God in my relationship with my children. How liberating. Not only did I find my joy in motherhood following this revelation and could enjoy my children for who they were, this applies not only to motherhood, but to all relationships, whether it be between a husband and wife, siblings and other family members and friends. Taking this concept to heart can truly revolutionize the relationships with those near and dear to you. It is only once you find everything you need in your relationship with God that you will stop looking for God in all your relationships with others. My second point is that God's love is unconditional, and he loves us deeply and well. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says the following, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God." As most of you know, Ethel and I became licensed foster parents in 2016, and this opened our eyes to a whole new world. With Joshie's autism and other special needs, we felt and still feel that the Lord has equipped us and called us to fostering children with autism and other special needs. Now, it's easy to love your own children, but not so easy to love someone else's, especially when they come from a background of trauma, abuse, and neglect. But God, he gives us a supernatural love for every child that comes into our home. He gives us the ability to put aside the bruises from kicking, biting, scratching, screaming, etc. that occurs all throughout the day, and the ability to tuck this child into bed, kiss him or her on the cheek, and say, "I love you." To see each child through his lens as a beautiful child of his, a creation of his. I get really frustrated when I share that I am a foster mom and people respond with, "Oh, I could never do that. I would become too attached." Does that mean that they assume that I don't get attached? If as a foster parent you don't get attached, then there is something seriously wrong. When we have a foster child in our home, we love them as deeply as our own children, with the supernatural love that comes from the Father himself. No holding back. How much does God love us? So much that he gave his only begotten Son so that we may enjoy an eternity with him if we believe in him as our Lord and Savior. My third point is that God equips us when he calls us and gives us the tools we need to transform our lives. When God calls you, he will equip and prepare you to effectively complete that which he is calling you to do. He knows us and will use everything about us to bring glory to his name. Hebrews 13:21 says, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." And 2 Timothy 3:16-17. "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work." The first day of our first foster placement did not go well. We were this child's fourth placement in 6 weeks, and he was severely autistic, nonverbal, and very aggressive. By that first evening, I was full of bruises, bite marks, etc., and I remember crying after getting all the children into bed that night. I remember Athel coming and putting his arms around me and just whispering into my ear, "It will get better." I remember turning to him and saying, "I'm not crying for me, I'm crying for him." How can we expect him to change when no one is prepared to invest in his life or give him the tools that he needs to change? We decided that night to stand in the gap for this child, to fight for him and his needs, just as Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. Athel and I went to weekly therapy with him and reinforced positive behavior daily. Slowly but surely, we started to notice change. He didn't like being touched when he first came into our home, but by the end of his time with us, before he was reunited with his biological mom, he was crawling onto my lap and putting my hand on top of his head to ruffle his hair and putting my hand on his back for me to tickle his back whenever he could. Christy was even able to teach him to say, "I love you," and he would say it back to us every time we said, "I love you," to him. His aggressive behaviors decreased the more he saw us as a family modeling loving behavior towards one another. And he underwent a total transformation as he started to mimic the same loving behavior at home and at school. That brings me to my fourth point. It's not about us. Everything we do should point right back to Jesus. Everything we do should glorify the Father. I've not shared these stories with you to get a pat on the back or to boost a popularity score. I share them because I am nothing without God. He doesn't need me, yet I get to walk with him and follow his leading every day. And every time I am with him, he fills me and equips me for the day ahead. He is the source of the unconditional love that I am able to pour out daily, and he can do the same for you. Just as being a mother and foster mom is not about me, it's about my children. And it's my relationship with the Lord that enables me to pour into my children out of the abundance of love and joy that the Father pours into me through my relationship with him. So Christianity is not about us either. It is about bringing glory to the Father through everything we say and do. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. It's so good to have you share with us and some of your wisdom. So thank you. Today, I just want to share just for a few minutes from a passage that you've probably never heard spoken on or preached on Mother's Day. And it's Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 16. Now, I'm not going to read all 16 verses. I just want to take one phrase out of one verse. And again, just a few minutes, I want to share something that the Lord has laid on my heart. And it ties in with what Debbie has just shared. And this first 16 verses of Romans chapter 16 is full of Greek names and a lot of names and repetition. So I'm not going to go through that, and but I want to share with you from verse 13. And so Paul is greeting all of his friends and his brothers and sisters in Christ in Rome, and he's greeting them at the end of his letter to the church in Rome. And then, and he's greeting well-known people that we've heard before, Priscilla and Aquila and Phoebe and others. But then in verse 13, he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." And that really struck me. And I realized that, you know, I don't know about you, but I have an amazing mother, and she still prays fervently for me and faithfully for all of her children. And I have to say that because she's going to be watching this video. But no, seriously, she is an amazing mother. But along the course of my life, I've had many mothers. I've had godly women that God has put in my life to encourage me, to rebuke me, to build me up, to direct and to guide my life. And God has used many different ladies in my life who have adopted me and challenged me in my life. And it's clear that the Apostle Paul probably had a few mothers in his life as well. And the Apostle Paul had mothers who probably encouraged him as he grew in the Lord and disciplined him, no doubt, and corrected him. But, you know, we've all had these mothers. For me, it was experiences at church camps or retreats during Sunday school. Leaders, dear woman, who gently, and sometimes not so gently, directed my path, loved me enough to know that I needed correction, and they didn't hold back. In verse 13 of Romans 16, we don't know this dear lady's name, but Paul recognizes the mother of Rufus, and then he says, she has been a mother to me. The Apostle Paul had a lady who cared for him and blessed him and probably corrected him as a mother. And I think this is more than just a random comment. You know, as Debbie was sharing, she shared from 2 Timothy 3:16, which we know all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, training, and rebuking, even in righteousness. And so it's important that this is in there to encourage us that there are mothers in the church that aren't biological mothers, but spiritual mothers. And this is the norm of the church, I believe. We need mothers in the church. Debbie shared about foster parenting. And yes, that is a role one can play. And you can go through the training. And I know the Missouri Baptist Children's Home is desperate for treatment foster mothers. So if you feel led to do that, please let us know. And we'll get you in touch with the right people to train you. But also there are spiritual mothers in the church. And elderly, maybe widows, maybe mothers who have raised their children and they're out of the home and now they're home and there's no one else there with them. The church needs you. And we should have spiritual moms all over the church. It is a sign of a healthy church family to have spiritual mothers. You know, the disconnection between generations is not necessary. The world says there's a gap, there's a void between the generations, and I don't believe that's God's intention. The reality is that we need each other. I think of someone like Kay Hensley. A few months ago, she approached me and said, I'd like to help with the youth. And she jumped right in and started attending youth on Sunday nights and started helping, started discipling and mentoring these young people. And she shared with me a few weeks ago that this has blessed her beyond her comprehension. It's given life to her. She looks forward to Sunday evenings when she can spend time with the youth. And I know the youth look forward to spending time with her. And she's not the only one. I know there are other spiritual mothers out there who are pouring into the children, pouring into the young ones. And so I thank you for those who are doing it. But if you're not, I encourage you. We need you. And the church, the body of Christ, needs every member to be a participant. I'm not saying that you have to help with the youth group, but Kay's was a very practical example of how this looks. But this is discipleship. This is mentoring. And mothers, you are really good at this. It comes naturally for mothers. As we gather together as the church body and the church continues to grow, we're going to have more and more children who come from broken homes. This is where mothers come in. This is where spiritual mothers come in. They encourage, they build up, they correct, they train, and they bless and they pray for the children. So today we honor mothers. We thank you for all that you do and that you are doing. And we look forward in the next few months when we all can gather together again soon to see your mothers mothering the children. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for those that have stepped in to care for those in our church family. And Lord, we pray and thank you for the mothers in our church, and we pray that you would bless their families. Lord, may we see a generation of wise and praying mothers rise up in our church family. Bless all the families of our church today, I pray. Encourage the mothers and the spiritual mothers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.